And Father, we just lift our hands and surrender. Oh, I ask that you empty us, Master, as we repent for every word, thought, and deed, every works of the flesh, dead works, selfish ambitions, every area of agreeing with the voice of the stranger. Lord, we repent for every area of rebellion and anything we've done that's offended you. Please have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. Wash us with the blood of Christ. Sever us. Sever us from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Establish us and position us to where it's no longer we that live, but you that live. As we welcome the Holy Spirit to come here, come, Holy Spirit. Take our hearts. Take our hearts, Lord. Expose them in every way possible. Remove the scales from the eyes that we may see, and that we may be more like you. Help us to judge ourselves before we judge anything else. Help us, Master. Help us to be more like you. And take us, Holy Spirit, to the throne room of Daddy. Take us. Establish and perfect us, that we may be pleasing in all that we do, and may it be totally unto you, not unto ourselves. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift your hands to heaven and say more. More. Whew. Yes, Daddy. Yes. More. We're undone without you, Master. More. Yes. More. More. Saturate us tonight, Lord. Sever us from ourselves. And let more take his rightful place. Oh, yeah. More. More. See, heaven is saying, are you looking for more? Heaven's saying, are you looking for more? See, you got to be looking for more. More. Whew. More. 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 Are you looking for more? Yes. Looking for more. Looking for more. Looking for more. The heavens are saying, are you looking for more? The word tells us, seek me with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength, and you'll find me. More. The foolish virgins were never looking for more. They were content in what they had, but the wise virgins were always looking for more. Always looking for more. More. See, the religious folks are content with what they have. But the children that are thirsty and hungry for him are looking for more. Because they want to be more like him, so they're looking for more. More. See, you got to be looking for more. If you're not looking for more, you'll be snagged. The enemy knows when you're no longer looking for more and you're content with what you got. We're looking for more. The prophets of old were always looking for more. That's why they became seers, because they could see, because they were looking for more. Looking for more. The same spirit that was in the prophets of old is in us. The same spirit that raised the dead is in us. The same spirit that cast out devils is in us. See, but if you're not looking for more and you're content where you're at, the enemy knows. That's why the scripture of the 10 virgins, of five that were wise and the five that were foolish, and the Spirit said that will be the condition all the way to his return. So we must continue to always be looking for more. More. King David made many mistakes, but one thing that kept him going was he was always looking for more of God. He made mistakes, but he got up and looked for more. He never stopped looking for more. People get married, get new jobs, and stop looking for more. They get revelation from God, and they stop looking for more. They get a raise at work, and they stop looking for more. That's a warning. Stop looking for less and start looking for more. It is your birthright. It is the right to birth your inheritance. So you should always be looking for more. When you're looking for more, you're able to see clearly. You're able to see to the end. You're looking for more. See, because you already know what the end result is. You don't belong here, number one. The end result is that you're going to end up in your father's house, where you all share one big place, man. That's the end result. So why would we stop looking for more unless we've been deceived? Unless we've been taken captive? Unless something else has come in our path where we've stopped looking for more? More. We've got to continue to look for more. We've got to be having a willing heart to do more. Seek more, pray more, worship more, fight more. If more is not in your vocabulary on a daily basis, something's not right. More. Surrender more, die more. More. We must constantly be looking for more. More freedom. More deliverance. More. If you're content where you are, and we know the Bible says, be content in all things, but there's one thing God always says, seek me. So if he says, seek him, that means you're never content in the area of looking for him. You're always looking for more. Always looking for more. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness in every area where we've stopped looking for more. We've become complacent, lazy, and compromised. And we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, for not looking for more. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound, Master. Open our eyes, ears, and heart to receive what your Spirit says today. Feed us from your throne room and establish your image, likeness, and character in each and every one of us. Bring revelation and impartation and fresh rhema that would change us tonight. And restore to us our thirst and hunger for more of you, that we may continue to look for more. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty hand. 1 Kings chapter 19. We got work to do. 1 Kings chapter 19. Tonight's study is called Looking for More. Looking for more. 1 Kings chapter 19. Hoo-wee. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven, get a drink. Nothing worse than a straight Christian. Everybody gets drunk in Jesus' name. That usually exposes those religious spirits so they can go underneath your feet. 1 Kings chapter 19. And 1 Kings in chapter 19 and verse 11. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake.
And after the earthquake, a what? Fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a what? Still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in the mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. In other words, when he heard this still small voice, he realized it was God, and he separated himself so that he could hear more. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because in the cave there would be echoes. So he moved out of the cave to the entrance of the cave so that he can now listen. See, he realized that the Lord was not in the earthquake. He realized he wasn't in the storm and the wind. But he realized that he was a still small voice. See, Elijah knew the voice of God. Are you listening? So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah? What you doing? What are you doing?" And he said, I've been very zealous, Lord. Come on, man. I've been doing what you wanted me to do. I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant." Oh. See, he's trying to explain to him why he is where he is. In other words, "You're out of position, Elijah. What are you doing here?" Elijah's making every excuse possible why he is where he is. "Because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left." I'm the only one. "Who told you that?" Then the Lord said to him, "You idiot." No. And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nishma, as king over Israel. And Elijah, the son of Shaphat of Abel Maholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place." Hello. Can you imagine standing before God and he's telling you to anoint these kings? And then he says, "All right, now listen, Elijah, you shall go anoint Elisha in place of you." Okay. See, but Elijah knew he wasn't going to die. He knew he was going to be taken up alive. See, because he was always one who was looking for more, he knew what the end result was. He may have made mistakes, but he knew what the end result was. Do y'all get this? Because he was a man who was always looking for more. Didn't matter. "I made a mistake. Okay, let's go on." Now, the Lord didn't scold him about his mistake, did he? He told him what to do. In other words, he corrected him to go do the right thing, didn't he? Are you listening? Now, watch this. "It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elijah will kill." In other words, they're going to clean up. So you got to understand something. These men were not players of worldliness. They were warriors of Christ. They were warriors of God. Are you listening? They were out to kill the demonic forces. They were out to kill anyone that was rebellious according to the will and the way of God. He said, "Listen, if one gets by this king will kill. If one gets by that king, Elijah will kill." The prophet, the seer, he was the cleanup batter. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel for your sake, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elijah, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12. And then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. In other words, he was calling him to fulfill a purpose. See, now you got to understand that Elijah already knew the ways of God, and he was involved in a family that was very wealthy to have 12 oxen. Are you listening? But there was something about Elijah. He was looking for more. He was what? Looking for more. Because, see, everybody knew all about Elijah, didn't they? I mean, you'd have to be a bonehead not to know about Elijah in those days. Come on, the dude calling down fire from heaven, killing 400 prophets of Baal. I mean, you know, all the things that God did through that man, everybody knew about Elijah and feared him. So here Elijah goes up to Elisha, and he throws the mantle on him. And Elijah does something strange. In verse 20, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my daddy and my mommy. Then I will follow you. And he said to him, this is what Elijah said to Elijah, go back again. What have I done to you? What have I done to you? Do you not remember? Do you not know? Do you not understand the call that has just been placed upon your life? Listen, you are one who is looking for more. What have I done to you? So Elijah realized he had to sever some emotional attachments. Hello. In verse 21. So Elijah turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. Are you listening? He what? He killed. Why? Because he was called to kill. He slaughtered them. And then what did he do? He boiled their flesh, right? Using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his what? His servant. Why? Because Elijah was looking for more. He wasn't content where he was at. He was a wealthy man. But he knew he had to sever the emotional attachments that he'd been entangled with in his life that have provided him life. And he turned around and you know what he did? He showed God, I'm serious. Are you listening? What did he do? He showed God that he was serious. See, when the Lord called Elijah, he called him to expose, search out, and kill rebellion. So everybody got it. It was a rebellious character. Elijah would become the cleanup batter. Or fulfill that call that must forsake all emotional attachments of past and keep yourselves from attaching in the present and future. See, he was going to become a servant to the servant. Are you listening? Or he was going to become a servant to the steward of God's things. Too many people want to be a steward and never become a servant to the steward. Before you can even become a servant of God's things or a steward of God's things, he always causes you to become a servant of the steward of the Lord. Are you listening? He always causes you to become a servant to the steward of the Lord before he positions you. And if you're faithful there, then you become a steward. And then things begin from there. Now I want to talk about, if you're constantly looking for more and you truly want to be a servant of the Most High God, which is birthed in you, it is there. You know that there's something more you're supposed to do. One of the things you're going to begin to do is sever everything from this world that's attached to you because you know it will cause you to stumble. You must sever all emotional attachments and anything associated with this world. People look at me funny when I tell them I sever every emotional attachment with my wife and my children. I sever it every day. Why? Because I don't want the enemy to have access to me in any way. I have to fight him enough. Why should I give him way? It doesn't mean I don't love my wife and my children. Doesn't the Bible say that his mercies are new every morning? So why not give me a fresh love for my wife and my children every morning? Why not give me a fresh love for all of God's children? Why not give me a fresh love every single morning? And anywhere I've shared my heart by mistake, I call it back so I can surrender my heart to him in exchange for his heart. See, so now it's no longer I that live, but him that lives. Are you understanding? There's a few things I want to share with you about looking for more. In this, there's things that we want to do to maintain that place of always looking for more. Number one, you must sacrifice your life for the life of Christ. You must sacrifice your life for the life of Christ. Sacrifice your life for the life of Christ. Number two, this is just a guideline, okay? As you're looking for more, you must reject anything and everything and everyone. You must reject anything and everything and anyone or everyone that would hinder your covenant service to the steward of the Lord. Why? Because we must become, if you want to become a servant, you must begin to serve the Lord's servant. Are you listening? In other words, God places in your life a steward of the Lord to serve that position, to serve that office. You're not serving the man, you're serving the office. Are you listening? So you must reject anything and everything and everyone that would hinder your covenant service to the steward of the Lord. Are you listening? And if you'll think about it, because Elijah, if you remember, Elijah had to do the same thing because he had to follow Elijah through three places, didn't he? And in each place, he had to constantly sever. And every time he would find, he says, if the Lord, I'm not staying here, man. Every time Elijah was going from Bethel or Gilgal or wherever he was going at that time to end up in the Jordan where the promise was, there were the servants of the prophets would come out and they'd say, hey, Elijah, your master is leaving. And tell him, be quiet. He didn't want anything to interfere. See, he was rejecting everything that was coming against him. In other words, he was looking for more. He knew what the end result was. He was looking for more, wasn't he? So he had to reject every area, everything, and everyone that would hinder his covenant service to the Lord's steward. Do you understand this? So he followed Elijah, didn't he? Number three, we must prevent personal walls. We must prevent personal walls or opinions from rebuilding caused by circumstances or chastening of the Lord. We must prevent what? Personal walls or opinions from rebuilding caused by circumstances and chastening of the Lord. In other words, the devil loves to tell you things to build walls, doesn't he? Walls are used to protect self. And that usually it's promoted by fear. And what protects fear is anger. And what protects anger is lying. Number four, we must maintain a submissive attitude. We must maintain a submissive attitude with complete trust in the Lord, not leaning on our own understanding, reasoning, or justification. We must what? Maintain a submissive attitude with complete trust in the Lord. Not leaning on our own understanding, reasoning, or justifications. Number five. We must relinquish. Everyone say relinquish. All pride, arrogance, or haughtiness to the service of self. We must relinquish all pride, arrogance, or haughtiness to the service of self. Number six. Looking for more, man. We have to dig deeper. Say dig deeper. And look for more. What are we looking for more of? More of God. More of his character. More of his presence. More of his love. Looking for more. Always digging deeper. Looking for more. Did you ever notice if you dig deeper? Did you ever see somebody dig for a treasure? They're digging deep, deep, deep. You know, the more they dig, the more they sweat. The more they dig deeper, deeper, and deeper, and finally they disappear, don't they? Hallelujah. So just keep digging deeper, and you'll eventually disappear. Hallelujah. Dig deeper and look for more. Why? Why were they digging deeper? Because they were looking for more. Dig deeper. Looking for more of God, his character, his presence, his love, revelation. Digging deeper. Never stop looking. Always keep digging. Number seven. Remember the end result, which we talked about. Remember the end result. See it all the way through. Remember, you don't belong here anyways. This isn't your house, right? We don't belong in this realm. We belong in another realm. We don't belong here. But while we're here, we want to take as many home and tell the truth, don't we? So we must sacrifice our life for the life of Christ. Reject anything that would come against your service to the steward of the Lord. Prevent personal walls and opinions from building. Maintain a submissive attitude. Relinquish all pride. Dig deeper and remember the end result. That's what Elijah did, didn't he? And that's what you and I must do. Continue to looking for more. Go to 2 Timothy 2. More, more, more of your oil. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Looking for more. You know, the Lord gave me this title, I think it was last week, wasn't it? Last week? The Lord said, looking for more. Okay, so I just kind of laid it on the side, looking for more. Start looking for more. Keep looking for more. My people aren't looking for more. Getting complacent and lazy. They're satisfied with goosebumps. They're satisfied with a raise at work. They're satisfied. They're being deceived. They're not looking for more. You know, the Bible says, if you want more, you got to sow more. You know, I remember when I was a baby in Christ a couple weeks ago. Still don't know what I'll be when I grow up. Man, I went to anything that had praise and worship and the anointing of God was there. It didn't matter to me. Man, I was constantly looking for more, more, and more. And more. I couldn't get enough. And even when I felt like I had enough, it wasn't enough. More. More. See, the whole thing is we become religious. In other words, we go to Bible studies and services and anointing service, but we're not looking for more. We become complacent. And that's a sly move of the enemy. Well, yeah, I'm going to Bible study. Well, you know, see, people take things nonchalantly. Well, it's just Bible study. Or it's just a service. It's only anointing service. It's just, see, when you take it serious, when you truly get serious with God, he gets serious with you. You know, there was an anointing one of our Friday night anointing services, and people were standing up getting ready to get prayed for, and people were worshiping, and there was this one brother there that I went up to him while he was looking around the room, and I said to him, "Don't give it away. Don't give it away." And I knew that man, if he wasn't willing to turn that around and go seek and look for more, he wasn't going to make it. And you know what? He is in here tonight. And he was warned at the Friday night service. I said to him, "Don't give it away. Don't give it away, man. You're going to lose it. Don't give it away. You're doing good. Why would you stop now? Why would you not want any more now? Why?" "Come in agreement," the voice of the stranger. "I'm okay. Oh, now my job's on my mind. Too bad. Then quit." Why don't you all start quitting your jobs? In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19. Is everybody okay? See, we got to constantly be looking for more. You know what? If you'll sow more prayer, if you'll sow more worship, I mean, with all of your heart, not just, "Oh, Lord, bless me today. You know, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub," you know. Some people only pray when they eat. "You know, thank you for feeding my flesh, Lord." See, if you'll sow more, if you're looking for more, you'll get more. And when you get more, you want more. Does everybody get it? See, there's the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. In the outer court is praise. That's where you're crucifying your flesh. That's where you're doing warfare. You're doing warfare and praise in the outer court. You open the door and go to the holy place. In the holy place is where you begin to minister to the Lord, fulfilling your priesthood, where you tell him you love him, you exalt him, and so forth. You stay in the holy place, and God checks you out if you're looking for more. If you're looking for more, see, because you can't open the door to the most holy place, the door is open to you. If you're truly looking for more, that door will open to you, and you'll be changed. Then you become one with the Lord. And it's no longer an area of praise or worship, it's oneness. It's a love affair. It's a change in you that you can't explain to anyone or write it down. It must be experienced. And I'm telling you that so many Christians, because they're not looking for more, are still stuck in the outer courts. You know why? Because that's why they go back out and fall. Because they never entered the most holy place. I can tell you right now that probably half of the body of Christ has never entered the most holy place. Because they're complacent. They're content with outer court. They're content with just going into the holy place. Ooh. Eat a little bread, do a little prayer, burn a little incense, prophesy a little bit, and leave. And never hit the most holy place where they change. If you're not changing, you're not looking for more. Are you listening? See, the most holy place, you cannot open the door. The door opens to you. He allows you in. And when you get in, you're never the same. You never want to leave. But you must be looking for more. In verse 19, is everybody there? Let's read it. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are his." And let anyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, right? Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every good work. So you see something important here. He says, you must cleanse yourself from the latter. Why? To be sanctified and useful. To be what? That means you must be looking for more. The only way that you continue to go forward is look for more. That's the only way. You must continue to be looking for more. You're not looking for fulfillment anywhere else or anything else. In fact, anything else that would try to bring fulfillment to you, you reject. Come on, are you listening? You reject. Oh, this job will bring fulfillment. No! Then my wife will bring fulfillment. My husband. No! Your children. No! Anything that will try to bring fulfillment to you, you must reject. Because there's only one that brings fulfillment to you, and that is the King of Glory who will fulfill you. Other than that, you will be deceived and you'll become a captive of the enemy. Remember the scripture. The wise virgins were always looking for more. Those are the ones that made it home. The foolish virgins were content in what they had. And they didn't have enough and didn't know it because they were deceived. So he's saying, listen, you and I must keep ourselves and sever everything of the latter, all emotional attachments of the latter. Nothing from the latter can bring you fulfillment again. Only him. Now, I'm not saying things don't come from the latter. Amen. I'm not talking about a stepladder, hello? I'm talking about your past. Sometimes God will allow things to come from your past, but he knows that it's not going to fulfill you. Now, I used to be a motorhead. I used to drive these fast cars and build race cars and all kinds of stuff. And the Lord puts in my path this pickup truck with a 5-seat Hurst shifter and stuff and 318 engine. I'm thinking, whoa. And it was donated to me. And I didn't think anything of it. I went to go pick it up one day and drove it home. And I was like, whoa. I'm thinking, hey, Lord, I'm thinking, come on. I mean, you know I love these kind of cars, you know. And this is awesome. But one of the things that came to me is, this won't fulfill you. See, that's why he gave it to me. He knew it wouldn't fulfill me. Only he can fulfill me. He gave me my wife back because he knew she wouldn't fulfill me. Only he would fulfill me. He gave me my children back. He knew that they wouldn't fulfill me. Only he will fulfill me. Why? Because you got to be constantly looking for more. More. Cleanse your past looking for more. The only way you can cleanse your past is to continue to look for more. If you stop looking for more, your past will catch up to you. Ephesians 4. You know, some people come to our Friday night anointing service and the Lord will tell me more. More worship. More worship. More worship. More worship. I mean, there's times we worship for 4 hours. But see, what he's doing is he's causing us to want more, to give more, so we can get more. Do you understand? But you know, when the service starts, the place is a lot of people there. Halfway through the service, they're all going home eating popcorn, watching TV. But those who are seekers, who are looking for more, will walk more in the Spirit. So you got to want more and look for more of the things in the Spirit. That's why some can't see. They've even come out of the outer court yet. They just finally got into the holy place, and that's it. They've never even touched the most holy place in their life. There are ministers out there who have never touched the most holy place in their life. They operate in a mixed anointing, soulish and spirit. Soulish and spirit. They've never entered the most holy place. They've entered the holy place thinking it's the most holy place. And they move in a soulish arena, or what we call a mixed anointing. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Would you read it with me? And he himself gave some to be what? Apostles. He's an overseer. Some to be what? Prophets. God uses them to bring direction. Come on. Some evangelists. Those are fisher of men. And what else? Pastors, those are to be examples. And what? Teachers, those are the ones that should be training. Do you understand that? So there's overseers, the ones that bring direction, the ones that are fisher of men, the ones that are supposed to be examples. And then there's those who train. Why are they doing this? Verse 12. For the what? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness, of the fullness, of the fullness of the anointing. But you got to be looking for more, don't you understand? That we should no longer be idiots, I mean children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting and deceiving spirits. But speaking the truth in love may what? When you stop looking for more, you stop growing. And the enemy knows. That you may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, you and I are being equipped, imparted truth to grow, mature. Now listen, and compete in the looking for more. Now you're not in competition with each other. You're in competition with yourself. Does everybody get this? Why? Because self is competing against you. And you are competing against self. And if you're not looking for more, self will eventually overtake you. Now, this is called competition, isn't it? Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. How many of you know there's good and bad competition? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you getting it? Are you looking for more? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You what? You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also if anyone what? Competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he what? Competes according to the what? To the rules. Warfare according to the rules, or the, it's called, known as the laws of the Spirit. What are you doing? You're competing according to the laws of the Spirit. You are looking for more, but you're competing with self. So there is a spiritual competition here, isn't there? Now listen, good competition causes godly growth. Good competition causes godly growth. Evil competition causes pride. Remember, you're competing with self. Now, there is spiritual competition where people are competing with one another in an area where it's ungodly spiritual competition. Are you listening? Oh, I'm more spiritual than you. They're looking at seeing how spiritual people are. That's criticism. Hello. That's judging. You're to judge by the fruits, not how spiritual they are. You'll know by the fruits to find out where they're at. There is a competition that is healthy. And there is a competition that is dangerous. And we must be able to discern these things. Does everybody understand that? If you are looking for more, you're going to be competing with yourself. Because self is always going to come up. And who uses self? The enemy. He's going to try to outcompete you. Do you understand that? As the child of God, you're in competition. But you must abide by the rules of the spirit of the law, or the law of the spirit, to be able to fulfill and finish correctly to receive your crown. You can't cheat. See, there's another competition, an ungodly competition. You know, when we go out and we play football and stuff, we pray against the spirit of competition. That competition will lie, cheat, and do all kinds of stuff. There's a difference. There's nothing wrong with to compete. It's healthy. But ungodly competition is unhealthy. It promotes pride. Do you understand that? There's a difference. I'm very competitive. But there's a healthy competition. You know what I'm saying? I go to the gym and I'm in competition with those weights, man. Unfortunately, they win. But I don't give up. See, you're in competition with yourself no matter what you're doing. You know, whether you're going to the gym, whether you're playing basketball. See, you think you're in competition with the people. No, you're in competition with you. Are you listening? You're not in competition with other people at your job. You're in competition with you. If you overcome self and you're looking for more, God will promote you. You don't have to worry about the other people. Well, they're more talented. So what? It's got nothing to do with it. See, you know why? You're looking in the natural realm and not in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, but they can type a gazillion words a minute. And I can only type three. Praise God. Sub it out. Use wisdom. See, there's always a way if you're looking for more. So we must warfare according to the rules or the laws of the spirit. Do you understand that you are competing? There is a competition, or that you're competing with yourself. And if you're looking for more, you will always overcome. It's when you stop looking that self catches up. Fear, worry, anger, hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, gossip. You know, the works of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We want more, more, more of the oil. Man, when more oil comes, something begins to happen. See, people are wanting more, but they're not willing to give more. You don't get more unless you give more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. Would you all read it with me? But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should what? Write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you, what? Increase more and more. In other words, you look for more. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life. To mind your own beeswax. And to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Let me share with you something. The reason why people lack is because they're not looking for more. They're not looking for what? I'm not talking about looking for a job. I'm talking looking about for more of God. Hello? More of his presence, more of his love. You know, the Lord is looking for people who will fight for his presence. Literally fight for his presence. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So why wouldn't we fight for his presence? Because in his presence, his promises are fulfilled. So you will never lack. In fact, you won't be looking for nothing else but him. And then he begins to bring everything you need. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Are you listening? So if we'll increase by looking for more of God, His love, you won't lack. It's when you stop looking that you become in need. Acts 9. Acts 9, verse 22. Acts 9, verse 22. It says something about Saul who became Paul after his encounter. It says in verse 22, but Saul what? Increased in all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the anointed one or the Christ. Look at, Paul was looking for more, wasn't he? And because he was looking for more, he increased in the strength of the Spirit. And by increasing in the strength of the Spirit, he was actually able to prove the Christ that was in him. Are you listening? He was actually able to prove the Christ that was in him to the lost. Because everybody knew who Saul was before, didn't they? And they saw a brand new Saul. Wow. Why? Because he was looking for more, and he increased in the strength of the Spirit. When you stop looking for more, you become weak in the Spirit. See, the Bible says that we are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things become new. Everything is new now. So that means you're always looking for more. You're always looking for what? More. And if you continue to look for more, things will become new. And things that are becoming new are imparting in you and making you more and more in His image and likeness, as God is releasing His promises to you. He's releasing your inheritance. But remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness that are always going to try to sway you. They're going to try to trip you up. They're going to try to cause you to fall. 2 Thessalonians 1. Would you go there for a minute? Yeah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows your faith grows exceedingly. Why? Because you're looking for more. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast about you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith in all of your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. They obviously were counting it all joy. Which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. See, people aren't going to get away with it, man. Let them say anything they want. Let them do what they want to you. You stand in position, God will take care of them. I see it all the time. I'm telling you, I get some of the strangest letters from people. I know what's going to happen. I commit them into the Lord, sever myself from everything. I get stuff, people send me stuff, and it's like the Lord said, don't open that up. It's junk mail. I don't want to feed you any junk. See, there are people that are reading stuff they shouldn't be reading because it's junk mail. And verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So we are to grow in faith that pleases God, and you will grow by looking for more. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. What does it say? Come on, let's read it together. When I was a child, when I was a child, when I, how many of y'all want to stay a child? We don't want to stay humble. He's talking about immaturity. Hello. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I acted like a child. I reacted like a child. But when I became a man or mature, I put away childish things. Without continually looking for more, you will fall into a child state again. Immature. You'll have all this knowledge and won't be able to utilize it because you're not looking for more. Is everybody okay? You'll fall in that child state where things will rule in your heart of pride, lust, greed, anxiousness, and want. Those are childish states. Is everybody with me? Pride, lust, greed, anxiousness, and want are fruits of childish immaturity. See, if you stop looking for more, you'll go back to childish attitudes. Childish arena. Did you ever walk with someone, you knew somebody that was a believer, and the next thing you haven't seen them in a year or two? And man, they have fallen backwards. And what, they've gone back to that childish state. What is that? You can see the lust in them, the greed in them, the anxiousness, and all the other stuff in them, can't you? Because they stopped looking for more. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Cease to what? Pray for you. Oh. You're looking for more, you got to pray. If you're not an individual of prayer, you're a survivor. You're always in survivor mode. And you'll always be in want. Always. There's a difference between being in wait and always being in want. In other words, there are things we need, but I know God's going to meet those needs. So I'm always looking for more and occupied in the things that he's given me to do now, knowing that they're going to come. I'm not in lack. I'm not in want. They're already mine. Does everybody get it? As long as I'm continuing looking for more of him, I'm always looking for more of his character, more of his love, more. Let's read this again. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In other words, you're growing by looking for more spiritual knowledge and understanding. What's beginning to happen is you're beginning to live a deeper life in Christ. I'm beginning to what? Live a deeper life in Christ. Something begins to change as you're continuing to look for more. You begin to live a deeper life. And it's a life that you don't want to come out of. It's a life that you want to stay in all the time. In Luke 6, in verse 46. Luke 6, verse 46. Everybody say, deeper life. Because I'm looking for more. Luke 6, and verse 46. And let's read this together. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Ooh, chihuahua. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say? In other words, saying, how can I be Lord over your life if you're not doing what I ask you to do? In other words, people look at Jesus as just Savior, even though they call him Lord, but then they don't obey him. That's being Lord over your life. That means you don't have a life. When you become a servant of the Most High God, you no longer have a life. That's why people get in trouble, because they're always fighting for their life. If you have to prove that you're right, you're fighting for your life. Hello? Come on. Verse 47. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep. Oh, glory. Deeper life, right? He was looking for more. And laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house. And it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Let me tell you, if you're constantly looking for more, you'll become solid. You'll become stable. You won't easily be moved. Is everybody okay? But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And ruin all that house was great. The ruin of that house was great. See, if you're looking for more, you're digging deeper. You won't be moved. Looking for more, digging deeper, causes a person to become stable, trustworthy, and faithful. To become what? Stable, trustworthy, and faithful. Romans 12. Romans 12. Looking for more? Are you looking for more? Hallelujah. There's a price to pay. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service or your responsibility. In other words, you are going to present yourself as a holy, living sacrifice acceptable to God Almighty. Does everybody get it? All right, let's go a little further. And do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There are three wills of God. There's a good, acceptable, and perfect. Now I'm going to share something with you that may blow your mind. I truly only believe about 10% of the body of Christ is walking in the perfect will of God. Most people run from it. He says that you're to present yourself a holy and acceptable sacrifice. In other words, you are sacrificing your life for the will of God. You are sacrificing your life for the will of God, the perfect will of God. Most believers can't handle the perfect will of God because it takes more. It takes more what? Obedience. Sanctification, devotion, death to self. It takes more. See, the perfect will of God is associated with the area of what you say you're going to do, you do it. Because there's a reverence and fear of God that is established in the perfect will of God. It doesn't compromise. In fact, there is danger when you ask for the perfect will of God and reject it. Come on, are y'all listening? Why? Because God is saying you got to be looking for more. See, but people pray, oh, Lord, your perfect will be done, nonchalantly. And they have no idea when God begins to perform his perfect will that it can bring danger to you. See, when you say your perfect will of God, Lord, be done in my life, you better be willing to do it that perfect will. One of the things that happened when you ask for the perfect will of God because you're looking for more, he begins to expose you to fit in his perfect will, because you can't fit in his perfect will unless he exposes you. Now, if you're not obedient, if you're not submissive, you're not willing to do whatever it takes, you will never fulfill the perfect will of God. And you'll find out, you'll cry, Lord, your perfect will. And all of a sudden it begins to change all kinds of things around in your life. And you go, whoa! This can't be of God. I asked for his perfect will. No, it is of God. He is changing you and exposing you to get you in the perfect will. It's amazing in how nonchalant people just pray the perfect will of God and don't do it. Are you all right? See, in the perfect will of God, there's an area where people become alarms. They sound the alarm. Are you listening? They sound the alarm. At all costs, including, they know the time. See, God's perfect will is God's perfect time. If you can't discern God's perfect timing, you'll never discern his perfect will. It's impossible. I've had counsel and meetings with individuals and so forth, and we sat there and we all prayed together, yes, Lord, and your perfect will be done. Praise God. And the Lord will say something, or something will come up, and he'll make a way for that perfect will to be manifested. Okay, let's do this, this, and this. Great, hallelujah. And then they don't show up. Nonchalantly. Okay. They have no idea. They just sowed and they're going to reap. Let me tell you, when you ask God's perfect will to be done, you better be willing to do it or you will reap. It's not some kind of occasional thing that you just throw up, Lord, your perfect will. It is holy. And it's to perform his perfect will from his throne room. His perfect will is his perfect time. People get married out of God's perfect will. Why? Because it's out of God's time. And they wonder why they struggle. They get a job out of God's perfect. Oh, Lord, your perfect will be done. But then they reject the counsel of the Lord. And they wonder why they struggle and struggle and struggle. Come on, are you listening? You got to get this. Because if you're crying out for God's perfect will, you better be willing to do it and die for it. You must deny yourself for God's perfect will. Self can't touch it. It's disgusting. It's an abomination. Self cannot touch the perfect will of God. Can't. Can all things work to the good? Yes. There are going to be believers who will never fulfill the perfect will of God. Never. They'll fulfill the good or acceptable. And they will never fulfill the perfect will of God. Although claim, oh, it's God's perfect will. Yeah, but no, it's not. You miss God's perfect will. Does everybody get this? You better be careful when you ask for God's perfect will and reject it. You'll go around that mountain till you die. Does everybody get it? God's perfect will is sacred and it's holy. When you ask for his perfect will, you better be willing to do it at all costs and willing to die for it. Or you just ask for his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. The moment you stop looking for more, you stop seeing. The more you stop looking for more, you stop seeing. You can only see so far then. Self is there all the time. Self is there all the time. Remember, you're in competition with self, aren't you? If you're looking for more, you're going to have dominion over self. See, you're always going to have that fight, aren't you? That's why you wake up every morning and self is there. In fact, he wants to wake you up sometimes. Are you awake? Yeah, what do you want? Spirit will say, yo, let's pray. Self will say, no, turn around and go back to sleep. The Spirit will say, come on, get up and pray. There's somebody in trouble. And self will go, let them take care of themselves. Self don't care. It only cares about self. His perfect will will expose you to fit into His perfect will. His perfect will is a strategic position. I said strategic position, spiritually and physically. And they're in God's perfect time, always. Strategically positioned is God's perfect will, spiritually and physically. They are parallel, perfect together. And the enemy will always try to deceive you. We cannot take the perfect will of God nonchalantly. Again, I want to share with you, if you're not willing to do the perfect will, do not pray for it. Just God, pray God's will. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll close here. Again, I want to share with you that there's going to be a time when we are, the alarm is going to sound off all over. And we must be willing to do whatever it takes. Sounding the alarm. It doesn't matter whether you're going to lose your job or not. That's associated with His perfect will. There's a time when He's going to say, wait in silence. There's a time that's established in His perfect will to strategically position you. 1 Peter chapter 5. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Looking for more. He says He chastens those He loves. If you've never been chastened by the Lord, see me afterwards. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in... In what time? Due time. In due time.
Oh, I'm anointed, I'm appointed, I'm ready to do this, I'm ready to do that. Yeah, you better sit down, little flesh creature. Yeah, but you don't know my calling, either do you. Shut up and sit down.
Pride will kill you. When you stop looking for more, pride loves stepping in. Wants to promote itself. But you don't know who I am. Praise God, and I don't want to. You don't know my calling. You don't know this. You don't know that. Good. But there's somebody who probably does. And if He wants me to know, He'll reveal it to me. I don't need to hear it from you. That's pride, arrogance, and haughtiness. Does everybody get this? And that person has stopped looking for more and is looking for self. Let's read verse 6 one more time. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in His time. Casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour, deceive, manipulate, trip up. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You got it, you use it, and you'll prosper. Amen? Father, we thank You for Your word. We commit all things to You. We sever ourselves from all worldly emotional attachments. We wait upon You. And Lord, teach us to desire your perfect will, to pay the price of your perfect will, and continue to look for more of you in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.